This week, we discuss the proper roles and responsibilities of those people guarding the West Gate. Whether visitor or petitioner, may we ever stand hand on sword, ready to be drawn and guard the lodge. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode number 590. Welcome back to the show. I'd like to thank our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners for making this show possible, ensuring that Masonic education on demand is available for anyone interested in our royal art and its kindred sciences, and ensuring that it's available all the time, 24/7, with no exclusive backlog, is what we offer. Since 2011, the Whence Came You podcast has been creating this weekly Masonic education. Again, for anyone interested, if you're interested in how you can help this podcast, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out how you can help. We also have a shop as well as a Amazon affiliate bookstore that has my own personal recommended reading and listening, recommended books by people who have been on the show, and books by the people who have been on the show. Thanks for checking it out. The Illinois Lodge of Research Traveling Symposium. What a great day we had. It was awesome. We had a food truck come out that was just amazing. It was called Berserkers. I had this awesome cheesesteak sandwich, and the mac and cheese was out of this world. Anyway, I'm raving about the food, but the education was amazing. We had such an interesting conversation after Brother Darren Lehner's presentation, and the conversation continued about that presentation over lunch. And then, of course, Brother Brian Pettis gave an amazing tour of the historic Danville Scottish Rite building, and Greg Knott presented this brand new presentation that he'd put together. It was all about why you're a Mason and kind of how we can create this interesting message that gets people interested. So anyway, I digress. It was an awesome day of education, and we're really looking forward to the next one. And hopefully we'll have it in a few months somewhere else around the state of Illinois. Our thanks to worshipful brother James E. Fry, Jimmy Fry from the Midnight Freemasons, who is the senior warden of the Illinois Lodge of Research, who put this whole thing on. And so our thanks goes out to, of course, him, our worshipful master Dave Truax, as well as Brian Pettis. So what's the next big thing? Well, the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education, MCME. This is a multi-day annual event, and we've got some speakers there. But the real thing that is happening is conversations between Masonic educators and people interested in Masonic education. And we're going to get together and have just an amazing time. If you are interested, I'm not sure if tickets are still available. If they're closed, then you need to contact them through their website at MCME1949, that's MCME1949.org. I've got a few things lined up over the next couple months as well, but details are still being ironed out. And at this time, I want to say thank you to everyone who purchased their Early Bird VIP ticket to MasonicCon Chicago. The Early Bird VIP ticket discount is gone. We now have both the VIP ticket and the general admission, both on the website, available right now. You can get your ticket, either one. And the ticket sales are through Space Novum Lodge, who is hosting the event this year, and they are handling it. I'm the event coordinator, so that's what I'm doing. What can I tell you about MasonicCon Chicago? Well, I can tell you that we've got 7 awesome speakers. Some you know, some are new. What else can I tell you about MasonicCon Chicago 2023? There will be representation there from both DeMolay and the Illinois Lodge of Research. We're working on others. Our swag bags are going to be pretty tight this year. I'm really excited about them. 2 things that we are going to omit this year are the festive board, and we are not going to live stream the event. This is an in-person only event. We will be recording the presentations. And those presentations will be available to those who purchase a VIP ticket. They will have the exclusive rights to those videos to watch at their leisure for a calendar year before they are released on the MasonicCon Chicago YouTube channel. So again, MasonicCon Chicago is going to be on September 16th, 2023. All-day education with the presentations starting at 9 a.m. and finishing up right around 6 o'clock. And then we can break for dinner, and there are about 36 restaurants in the immediate vicinity of the location. So some of you can break out and go to different restaurants and things or whatever we want to do. It's going to be a great time. I'm really looking forward to the next iteration here of MasonicCon Chicago. So if you're grabbing a ticket, awesome. The faster you buy, the faster I can secure the things that we are getting for the conference, and we can purchase the items we need to make it all happen for everybody. All right, let's get into this week's education. This week's education is an article entitled Guardians of the Gate. It was written by Unknown and published on February 15th, 2023, and it starts like this. Masonic secrecy is made manifest in the offices of the Guardians of a Lodge, the inner and outer guards. What principles must these officers work to make a reality? Any master mason speedily discovers that his masonry is not all getting. It is also a matter of giving. A good mason must serve as well as be served. When masonry is well served by her brethren, she grows, thrives, and prospers. When she is ill-served, a lodge starves, thins out in quality, gets stagnant, and sometimes dies. When your application was received by the lodge, the master appointed a committee of three brethren whose duty it was to investigate the truth of the statements you made, to find out what manner of a man you are, and recommend to the lodge what action it should take. Following their report, a ballot was taken on your application. You were a good man. Your committee reported in favor of your application, and you were elected. You may not have known of their investigation. In small towns, it is not always necessary to see the applicant directly. Generally, he is known to one or more of the brethren, and his reputation can easily be established from other sources. In larger centers, one or more members of the committee, in addition to other work, will look up the applicant for a personal interview. On the accuracy of the report of committees on petitions and on the fidelity with which they discharge their obligations depends the purity of the lodge and the character of its personnel. When you are appointed upon an investigation committee, you may take it as a single honor that your master has confidence in your good sense, your loyalty, and your freedom from prejudices. He believes that you will faithfully discharge the most important Masonic duty he can give you. Do you, therefore, take the work seriously and do it faithfully? By all means, see the applicant unless you are completely satisfied from the interviews with his friends, enemies, employers, and associates as to exactly what kind of man he is. Some member of the committee must see him or know him, of course. All members should, if possible. Never be satisfied merely because you find nothing against the applicant. Masonry wants positive, not negative virtues. It is not that he hasn't been caught and jailed yet. He must be the kind the law doesn't want. It is not enough that he has no enemies. He should have friends, and many of them. But it is not necessary to point against a man that he has enemies. It is for you to decide whether such enmity is justified by character and actions which would be prejudicial to the lodge were the candidate admitted. It is not only your right, but your duty to inquire strictly into the reasons which lead an applicant to desire masonry. There are many reasons, most of them good. Those which indicate that the applicant would not make a good mason will occur at once to anyone. The petitioner who wants membership in order to promote his business is seeking something only for sordid reasons. The man who desires merely to satisfy his curiosity is not worthy of the knowledge he seeks. The applicant who hopes, through influential friends acquired in the lodge, to secure a place in power would prostitute for selfish ends in the institution he seeks to enter. Many men will be inarticulate as to why they want to become a mason. Many others will have many reasons. All combined, you'll be hardly able to disentangle one from the other. Be sure that you dig deeply enough to understand the secret springs which move a man. For on the reasons why he wishes to become a member of our great order will depend in large measure on the sort of Mason he will be. Among the good reasons for wishing to be a Mason are a sincere desire to help others, a respect and veneration for a fraternity which has been beloved by so many great and good men, a patriotism which would follow in the footsteps of Washington, a love for one's fellow man, a desire to be with many friends in activities which they enjoy, a hunger to follow where a father, uncle, or blood brother has gone, and a desire to secure the moral and social welfare of his loved ones. But it is not a good reason if a man desires to join a lodge because he believes his family may be in want and he hopes the lodge will help. The older an applicant, the more closely his reasons should be investigated. A man of 60 who wants to be a Mason must explain why, so anyone can understand. This, because there are men past their 70 who hope the fraternity will put them in one of their homes, or otherwise relieve them of the care of themselves. Such a reason, of course, is wholly unworthy, and no such applicant would receive consideration at the hands of any intelligent committee. On the other hand, the older man who has waited for his son, or has only been now able to gratify a long ambition, or who has come to believe that only in real fraternity is there to be found the best in friendship. These are to be admitted, if all else is well, without regard to advanced age, so long as the statutory requirement is satisfied. Make your investigation alone, unaided, without reference to the other committeemen. Make your search promptly. It is not fair to the applicant or to the lodge to dilly-dally about it. If you can't serve, say so. If you do serve, serve well. Serve wholeheartedly and promptly. You will be well paid. A master's wage await you when you shall have done your work, paid not in any metal coin or anything of material value, but in the finer coin of consciousness, of honorable and respectable duty. Well done. The inner happiness which comes when you may truly say to yourself, Masonry has been helped forward by my work. The knowledge that your lodge is a better lodge because you have paid back, in small measure at least, the interest and the labor your brethren invested in you. The Committee on Investigation appointed for the purpose of giving to the lodge first-hand and Masonic knowledge of character, abilities, attainments, and general reputation of applicants for the degrees is not the only, though it is the most important, committee work Masons may have to do. Next to it, in importance, is the work of the committee sent out from the lodge to examine a visiting brother. Only Masons thoroughly familiar with lodge work should be asked to serve on an examination committee, the duty of which is to ascertain if those who would visit your lodge are regular Masons in good standing. At least two brethren must compose such a committee, and of these, one is usually in charge, the other being merely a witness. There is no law covering this. Both may ask questions. Indeed, both must be fully satisfied before the visitor is brought into the lodge. Usually, the first procedure is to examine the documents of the visitor. Formerly, many lodges issued Grand Lodge certificates, which were held to be prima facie evidence that the possessor had been regularly initiated, passed, and raised. The possession of such a certificate was held essential before an examination could be conducted. Now, however, many lodges do not issue such certificates, contending themselves with a receipt for dues, or a good standing card, or both. In few jurisdictions is a Mason refused admittance to a lodge because he does not possess a Grand Lodge certificate. The good standing card, however, is usually considered essential. It is always wise to ask the visiting brother to sign his name and compare it with the signature written upon the good standing card. Having witnessed themselves that the visitor is in good standing in his lodge, the committee retires with the visitor to private room for the examination. You are not to be nonplussed if the visitor here demands to see your credentials, or even to ask to look at the charter of your lodge. He has the same right to be cautious that you have, the same right to assure himself that this is, indeed, a regular lodge. Working under a charter, as you have to assure yourself that he is a regular Mason, not an imposter. It is required not only that he take oath to the fact that he is a Mason, and that there is no reason known to him why he should not visit with his brethren, but that you, the committee, take the same oath. And this should give you the keynote to the procedure of examination. It is not an inquisition in which the committee subjects the visitor to inquiry. It is a conference of brethren in which two groups satisfy each other of their mutual brotherhood. After the Tyler's oath, the committee may ask the visiting brother any question relative to Masonry which occurs to them. He has the same right to ask questions. If both parties exercised their right to the fullest extent, an examination could take all evening. As a general practice, the visitor does not ask questions. Presumably, he has satisfied himself in other ways that his questioners are Masons, and that the lodge he would visit is a regular lodge. All right, for the Craftsman Plus, I'm going to post in the Facebook group a question about this article, which is, have you ever been investigated? I have been investigated 3 times, and all 3 times it went a little different. I'll talk about it in the group. What I like about this article is it takes the steps that a Grand Lodge typically gives its brethren in terms of guidance on a committee for investigation. It takes it a little further. There's some poetic license here, which I think is nice. I also think it's interesting that it talks about somebody being too old to be a Mason, which somebody should be suspicious over. Perhaps this is something that happens in other places in the world where Masonry is more inundated with candidates or something along those lines, but I don't see a bunch of quote-unquote older men trying to break down our doors. I've been witness to 3 or 4 men who have joined the fraternity later in life, and they've turned out to be just amazing brothers. In those cases, I suspect that our investigation committees did a fairly well job. I also like that the author discussed not only petitioning a lodge, but visiting a lodge, and mentions the rights of the visitor as well. Well, that's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining us. Again, my thanks goes out to our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners. And if you would like to be a part of producing this show, head on over to wcypodcast.com and click on Support the Show. As for me, you can find me all over Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook, on social media, on TikTok as the Wizard of Arge, where I do tarot card reviews and other interesting short videos on Freemasonry. I'll have a link back to the article we read on the show in the show notes, as well as where you can get your tickets for MasonicCon Chicago and the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education. Something else that you might want to consider, I almost forgot to tell you about, is MasonicCon Kansas, which is coming up real shortly. It's happening at the end of July, so you can check them out at MasonicConKansas.com. All right, we'll talk to you all next week, and until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, girl.